share on steps 8 and 9. Thank you very much.
There we go. How's that? Great. Good to see everyone.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Jerry. I'm an alcoholic. It's great to be here. My friend Sherry just randomly came up to me after a meeting one day and asked me if I was willing to do this, and I said yes. So I'm glad to be here, and I'm not sure how long you guys, if you guys like to discuss these steps after I talk, or how long you would like for me to go on with this.
Hi, Jerry. I'm sorry. It's a 30-minute share, and we can give you a 5-minute warning like this.
Perfect.
And then we go into breakout rooms and discuss the steps and what you shared.
Perfect. Okay, great. So this was really interesting. I'm over in Charlotte, North Carolina, visiting my my daughter and the grandkids, and I didn't bring my books. So I got in the car and went to a meeting last night, and bought a new big book and a 12 and 12, and stayed up kind of late trying to remember all of the many markings and asterisks and highlights and stars that I had written in my original books. So it was kind of fun to dive back into the literature, and into these two steps from kind of a new perspective, if you will, because these books that I have are like brand new. And for me, I try to live a right here, right now kind of life. To me, all the action and all the access to the God of my understanding exist in this space right here, right now. So I hope you guys can relate to that. So, reading from the big book on page 76, now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. And I'm just kind of going to move around here in the book with some places that I highlighted and underlined last night. Further down on that page, if we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. For me, my sponsor always suggested that whenever in the literature we see the word ask, that basically that's a prayer. And so if we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. So for me, if I'm having a hard time accessing that willingness, I say a prayer and I talk to my higher power, just like I'm talking to you guys right here, right now. And I'm like, please, I need the access to willingness to take the actions that I need to take in regard to these steps. Okay, reading on. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. And again, you know, my sponsor, it was all about, Jerry, what are you willing to do whatever it takes to stay clean and sober? And so willingness was always a very strong, powerful, faith-based principle for me to practice. And later on, I'll tell you about the awakening that I had when I was in treatment 32 years ago that helped me to awaken that willingness to take the actions that I needed to take. Okay, I'm skipping over to page 77. Top of page 77, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. We have different literature that says different things about purpose, but on these steps, it gives us this feedback of what our real purpose is, and it's to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. Okay. I'm skipping over to page 78. Down in the second paragraph where it says, we must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. And of course, they're talking about financial realities and how most alcoholics owe money when we first get clean and sober. And again, it mentions fear, which of course has come up in our other step work. Whenever I see the word must here in the big book and in our literature, to me, that's really a highlight of how important that is. Especially when it says we must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. Okay, I'm moving over to page 79, first paragraph, reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience. We ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must, there's that must word, we must not shrink at anything. Okay, and I'm going on down to the end of page 79, the last paragraph. One of the things that was suggested for me to do in going through the literature and going through both books that I've continued to suggest to the men that I sponsor is to highlight and write down in the literature all of the principles that we see that are related to those steps. Because for me, my experience has been the steps have kind of dissolved into the principles that our program asks us to apply in our daily lives. So to me, the principles are what bring whatever step that we're working on, that bring it alive and turn it into an action that we can actually practice on a daily basis. And forgiveness and willingness are throughout this eighth step, eighth and ninth step. So forgiveness and willingness are just two of the principles that are mentioned here. I was sponsoring a man. I took for 14 years. I took I took meetings into the jails in Nashville, and I sponsored some of the men that I met in there. And one of the men, I actually got through all of the steps with this one guy. And when we came to this step, the eighth and the ninth step, and he had made his list, and we were going over his list, and he said, "Jerry, there's no way I can make an amends to this man. If I even show up and he sees me, he will kill me. He has a gun and he will shoot me and he will kill me." So I thought about this for a moment and I said, "I'm not going to ask you to make an amends to this man, but I am going to ask you to be willing to make an amends to this man." So for me, that willingness again is, it just, it's a manifestation of hope and a manifestation of faith. And in this eighth and ninth step, so much of it is for me is, you know, what we call in the program a living amends. So that even if there's someone that I can't make an amends to, or I can't find, I can try to talk that through with my sponsor and try to actually change my behavior in a way that demonstrates the practice of the principles that are applied in these two steps. Okay, I'm trying to move along here. On page 80, after consulting with his wife and partner, he came to the conclusion that it was better to take those risks than to stand before his creator guilty of such ruinous slander. He saw that he had to place the outcome in God's hands, or he would soon start drinking again, and all would be lost anyhow. So again, there's that faith. There's that faith and that trust in the God of our understanding to place the outcome in God's hands. I mean, we hear in the program, you know, how we try, the actions that we take, we try to leave the results up to our higher power, to take us out of the results committee. That's been a big, big help for me. Okay, I'm jumping over to page 83. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. So again, here are principles that are in the big book that are related to this step. Patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And then in the next paragraph, it says, the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. Unless one's family expresses a desire to live upon spiritual principles, we think we ought not to urge them. We should not talk incessantly to them about spiritual matters. They will change in time. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. Boy, haven't we all experienced that? Okay, and then it gives us some specific directions that I always go to with, again, the men that I work with. And when I go over that list that is made, we create categories based on what is here in the literature of how we're going to proceed in actually making these amends. So again, reading out of page 83, there may be some wrongs we can never fully right. We don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we would have, that we would right them if we could. So now here it says, some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter, and there may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases, but we don't delay if it can be avoided. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. I was recently working with a sponsee, and we had gone through his list, and he had sent some letters to some people, and he kept coming to me, and he was like, Jerry, I haven't heard back from any of these people. And I was like, that's none of your business whether you hear back from any of these people or not. Your business is to be sending these letters out as best you can. Letters, and in this day and time, actually emails. Anyway, so it's not like we have any say so on what the results are going to be. Oh my goodness, 5 minutes. Okay, I'm going to jump over to the 12 and 12. Step 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed, became willing to make amends to them all. This is a very large order. It is a task which we may perform with increasing skill, but never really finish. Learning how to live in the greatest peace, partnership, and brotherhood with all men and women of whatever description is a moving and fascinating adventure. And again, it talks about forgiveness in the 12 and 12. Since defective relations with other human beings have nearly always been the immediate cause of our woes, including our alcoholism, no field of investigation could yield more satisfying and valuable rewards than this one. Thoroughness, we have found, will pay and pay handsomely. Oh, and at the end, oh, I haven't even gotten to step 9 yet.
Yeah, you actually have 7 more minutes, Jerry, or 8. Let's say 8.
8 more minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get to step 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And again, I can't stress enough how important it is to really work with your sponsor in regard to these two steps. To be thorough with the list, to be thorough with the way that you're going to try to make these amends. But a sponsor is going to be of maximum help to you in the actions that you take and how you do this. I mean, my sponsor, you know, continues to share this story with others about how he just blurted out to his wife all of the wrongs he had committed before he had talked to his sponsor. And that did not go over very well, as you can imagine. Okay. And again, it gives us more directions. There will be those who ought to be dealt with just as soon as we become reasonably confident that we can maintain our sobriety. There will be those to whom we can make only partial restitution, lest complete disclosures do them or others more harm than good. There will be other cases where action ought to be deferred, and still others in which, by the very nature of the situation, we shall never be able to make direct personal contact at all. Okay. And, oh, so this is the story I want to share with you, and I'll share it with you real quick. Okay, so when I went to treatment, the weekend came where I was going, when my daughter was coming to visit me for the first time at the treatment center. And she was 11 years old at the time. And I had so much shame and guilt, and I didn't know what to say to her. I went to the counselor at the treatment center, and I was like, John, my daughter's coming to see me. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. I need your help. I'm desperate. And he said to me, Jerry, there's only one thing I think I can suggest for you to do, and that's to go down to the chapel before your daughter gets here and get on your knees and ask the God of your understanding to help you find the words to communicate to your daughter. And I looked at John and I went, John, is that all you have? And John shook his head and is like, yes, Jerry, that's all we have. So thank God I was desperate enough. Before my daughter got there, I went down to the chapel and I got on my knees and I prayed to the God of my understanding, just like I'm talking to you guys now. And I was like, please, God, I need for you to help me find the words to say to my daughter when she gets here. And when I stood up, something happened within me, and I knew that somehow it was going to be difficult, but I was going to get through it. And I did get through it. And the willingness to do and follow that suggestion continued to manifest throughout me working with my sponsor when I got out of treatment, to be willing to do what he suggested and to go through the rest of these steps and to have the spiritual awakening that I had and try to maintain today on a daily basis. So maybe that's a good place to stop. I don't know, Angela, tell me.
You are called, Jerry. You have about 3 minutes. If you want to wrap it up, that's fine.
Well, I definitely want to, okay, so to me, the way I want to wrap it up is in my home group. For years and years, we had this, what we did together was we said the promises. On page 83, we all recited those promises together. And for me, this is just where it really shows us the potential of what not only these steps, but all of these steps can present to us and that we can actually access. And I can say that on any given day, these promises have come true in my life and countless other men that I've worked with. And I'm just gonna read it. I've got to read it. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Amen. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Yes, they will. Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much, Jerry.